Are you a single believer looking for the love of your life?
Or are you a married believer looking to grow the love you already have?
If you like practical advice
based on the Word of God
with real life examples,
you're in the right place.
I'm Cindy.
And I'm Wayne.
Welcome to Love with the Lines. Welcome to Love with the Lines. I'm Cindy.
I must be Wayne.
And this is episode 63.
Wow, 63. I remember 63.
Yes, you do?
I do. I remember being 63, and I remember 1963. I was 5 years old.
Oh, yes.
Yep.
I was only four at this point in 1963.
At this point in 63, yes.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Much younger than I am.
Oh, yes. By several months.
By several months. Favorite time of the year.
Yes, it is my favorite time of the year because you're older than I am for 5 months.
Five months.
Mm-hmm. Anyway.
Anyway, what are we doing tonight, love?
Well, we are talking about a resource that's available from Trail Map for Life. Trail Map for Life is a website that has resources that are geared towards supporting families. And so they have a lot of really cool parenting resources, but they also have something called the 25-Minute Marriage Makeover.
Mm-hmm.
And they bill it as a 25-minute journey that will transform your marriage. What this is it's a little survey that you take. You take it and your spouse takes it. There's the wife's version and the husband's version. Mm-hmm. Thinking if you're planning to get married, you could just, you know, the man does the husband and the woman does the wife one. And take it that way. And it actually would be a good planning tool for getting married. At least thinking about the first part of it. A lot of it's based on looking at your marriage after you've been married for a while and comparing it to what attracted you to each other in the beginning and then what qualities you really like about your spouse. Now, it starts out, they have some promotional items in the handout. You could just download the handout so you can look at it on your computer. You can print it out, whatever you want to do. It's free. It's a free resource. And they had testimonials about this tool. And I love from, so one of the funniest feedback reports they said that they received from a man who had been married nearly 20 years. And he said, for the past 15 years, I've been dutifully doing the dishes and vacuuming the floors because I thought that acts of service were my wife's top love need. After 25 minutes of doing the marriage makeover, I learned that those things really didn't mean that much to her.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, she was craving, though this is a family thing, so anyway, non-intimate displays of affection. You can put in the real word there. As soon as I started demonstrating those to her, our marriage catapulted. Having trouble with that word, catapulted to a new level, and she made an intentional effort to meet my love needs. Our intimacy and connection have never been better, and I have tons of free time on my hands.
So I would wonder if what he was doing was his love language.
Yeah, his love. Yeah, that we don't want to get this confused with love language.
Or not love language.
These
but
are love needs.
So love
this
needs,
survey
that's
we've
it.
Already talked about. Gary Chapman's book about the five love languages and talked about knowing your spouse's love language. Well, this is a survey about love needs.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a little bit different. Although I think it kind of ties in with the love languages.
To a point, yeah. But anyway, so my question was, I wonder if that was one of his top love needs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and that's what I know the authors of this say, that lots of times we do things for our spouses because it's something that we would like them to do for us. And so it's important to us, so we'll do it for them. And then sometimes we get upset when they don't reciprocate with things.
Mm-hmm. But it may not be important to
them. It might not be important to them at all. So anyway, you download the two copies of the worksheets, the husband's copy and the wife's copy. And then they give you instructions on how to do this. So you have to set some time for this. We actually did this together before we came on to record the podcast, so it would be fresh in our minds. So you find a quiet place to read and complete the pages 2 through 8 of the survey. And you focus on, they have some exercises on 6 and 7, and then it tells you when to stop. Once you both complete this, then you get together to discuss your answers together. So it's very interesting because the first part of it has you look at attraction and favorite characteristics. The author says, when we were dating, most people spend tremendous time and energy thinking about the other person and what we could do to make them happy. Unfortunately, once we get married, it's easy to take things for granted and forget about the incredible qualities that first attracted us to our spouse. So they give you 90 seconds to write down the top three things that attracted you to your spouse when you got married. So that was fun because we did that.
And although I wonder why they only do it in 90 seconds.
So you don't think about it too much. So you don't think about it too much. You just do. It's kind of like when you take a multiple choice test, because we're always doing testing strategies where I work with students. And it's best to go with your gut feeling.
Not to think about it.
Not to think about it, because 9 times out of 10, you will change your answer to the incorrect answer.
You'll overthink it.
Because you overthink it. So 90 seconds is just enough time to think about what was first attracted you to. So it was funny because we had, for both of us, we had sense of humor, or that we thought the other person was funny. We both had that on our list of original things, and then still had it on the seven, because then you take another 90 seconds and write down your 5 favorite characteristics of your spouse now. And it says they may or may not be the same as when you got married, and that's okay, because we all change over time, as does what we appreciate most. So that's interesting to keep in mind too, is that what you appreciated from your spouse when you first got married, there may be different things now. Especially, we talk often about how your needs change when you're in the midst of child rearing.
I was going to say, especially if you have kids, or if you move, or you have a job change, or all kinds of, there's so many different things.
Or if you're a member of what they call the sandwich generation, where you're taking care of children and elderly parents at the same time. We lived through that, and that was challenging. And so your needs change depending on the season of life that you're in. So they can be different, or they can be the same. We found that a lot of our things were the same, but there were some different changes. The author goes on to talk about why this is life-changing to do this activity together as a couple. And he says, as adults, we have a lot of stress on us. One area that can often suffer is the strength of our marriage. Additionally, because each of us is different, we each have unique needs that we want our spouse to fulfill. Complicating things further is that women's most important love needs are typically different than those of men.
We have noticed that.
You're funny. So most people find their needs are very different from their spouse's needs. When we get married, we promise to do our best to meet our spouse's needs until death do us part. But among these are needs that often are called love needs, which describe the ways we like our spouse to show their love for us. And so that's the importance of this. So then it gives you instructions on how to identify your spouse's unique love needs. And the author says here, it's easy for us to allow ourselves to get disappointed and even frustrated when our spouse isn't a mind reader and isn't able to magically guess what we want them to do to make us feel loved and important to them. But if we don't tell our spouse exactly what we want, they may spend a lifetime trying to figure it out while our marriage suffers as a result.
You know, it's interesting, you know, how we just expect the other person to know.
We joke a lot, especially for me, because, of course, as a woman, my mind is going in 12 different directions at one time. And so I'll be on 3 subjects ahead of whatever we were just discussing and launch in, and Wayne will have no idea what I'm talking about. And I'll joke, and I'm like, I'll realize this, and I'll say, oh, well, come on, you're supposed to be reading my mind. And then what do you say?
That's not what you were thinking about.
Yeah, that's what you say. Well, that's not what you're thinking about. And then I'll say, well,
and then I'll tell her what she was thinking about.
Yeah, yes, and then he makes up things.
Well.
And so, depending on my mood, I either laugh or I get more annoyed. So we have those conversations and joking about being mind readers.
Well, and then there's so many times you just don't speak the same language I do.
Oh, you're going to go there.
Well, it's true. It's true. I mean, well, and it's funny because our daughter will tell us that she'll be there listening to us frequently, which I know we've talked about this before, that we're saying the same thing. We're just saying it differently. And just not hearing each other say the same thing.
Right.
But anyway.
And when I already mentioned this, because the author makes a point of saying that if we don't understand our spouse's specific love needs, we typically project our own onto them because we think it's really special that we're doing something for them because it's what we want them to do for us.
And see, that's what I was talking about in that first page about that husband there, wondering if that might have been what his love need was, but which is what he wanted her to do for him.
Yep, absolutely. The author says that there's two factors that make the next 25 minutes life-changing. Using a customized approach enables you to identify your spouse's specific love needs and how they want you to demonstrate them. So once you identify and begin doing these things, your spouse will try and meet your needs, and a vicious cycle of niceness begins. It's immediate and amazing. I thought that was that was an interesting way of putting it.
Yep. So then he also talks about the risks of not doing this. So he says, over time, if some of our spouse's love needs are consistently unmet, then they may find it increasingly difficult to meet our love needs, and a destructive cycle begins that can quickly escalate to create significant tension. This can turn into a vulnerable situation where many people have made a bad choice because someone other than their spouse is seemingly able to meet those important needs. Boy, isn't that the truth?
Yep, that is the truth.
Yep.
That's how other people can become more attractive to you.
Especially if it's somebody that you're working with or a neighbor or somebody that you're around all the time. And if you have a chance to talk to, you know, if you can... You know, if your spouse is working and their spouse is away and you happen to be able to talk to them and share things, and that's how
We actually know of a situation where a brother and sister had their spouses divorce them and run away with each other. So the brother-in-law and sister-in-law left their spouses and got married.
And got married.
Yes. That was, but they spent a lot of time together, and it, I bet it was one of these situations where... That, you know, they saw qualities in the other person that they wanted to see in their own spouse, but probably had never discussed any of these things.
So. And devastated their families.
Yes, devastated their families, totally. Yeah. I know in the testimonial part in this, there was actually a testimonial from a widow who had been married nearly 50 years who took this inventory. And she said, I wish that my husband and I would have had something like this. He thought he knew what my love needs were, but we never discussed it and as such missed out on so much in our marriage. A customized approach like this would have made a huge difference for us and would have made it easier to talk through. I thought that was an interesting perspective from somebody who'd lost their spouse in reflecting back on their marriage, that their marriage could have been better with this.
Well, they go on to say that the exercises on the survey on the next two pages are the transformational part of the worksheet, where you'll likely find is most of the love needs are important to each of you, and a few stand out as vital to the health of your marriage. The critical part is writing down how you want your spouse to demonstrate your top six love needs to you, and that is what changes everything. So you're not only supposed to identify them, but also talk about how your spouse can do them or demonstrate them.
And it said that an important point in this is when you're finished is to take as much time as needed to thoroughly discuss your answers with each other. And acting on what you learn will change your marriage immediately. That moves you into the love needs survey, and it's a ranking. So it goes through and it lists, I didn't count how many things are here. Oh, you're counting. It's a it's one page.
21, and then there's a spot for other.
21 and a spot for other. Yep. So 22 spaces where you can rank your love needs. Some of them that they list are unconditional love, complete trust, close emotional connection, respect, friendship, small gifts, quality time, financial provision, good parent to our kids, attention and being attentive to my needs, yard work and home maintenance. And so you go through and you rate each one 1 to 10 in terms of how important they are to you. So 10's extremely important, 1 not important at all. And it says try to only use 10s for those areas that are most important to you. And then circle your 6 highest scores and rank order them in the My Top 6 Love Needs chart, which is on the next page. So you pick out your top 6 and then rank them in importance from number 1 being the most important and number 6 being the least important of that group of 6. it gives you a column on the right where you list those six love needs, and then a column to write down your favorite way that your spouse does mm-hmm. this, or how they could demonstrate this mm-hmm. type of love to you if they don't. And we found it very interesting because actually these are the types of things that we have worked on mm-hmm. for a long time in our marriage through other trainings and seminars and things that we've been a part of over the years. And so we actually have worked a lot of this mm-hmm. out, and we were having a difficult time coming up with things. But
yeah, but it was funny too, because our top six love needs, several of them, well, especially the top couple, they were the same for both of us.
They were the same. Yeah, yep. They were the same. Yeah, so that was very interesting. Once you get through ranking your top six love needs and then talking about how they could be demonstrated to you, they give you on the next page an opportunity to talk about what a small amount of additional focus
What could a small amount of additional focus make things better?
Yes, that's what I'm trying to say. Mm-hmm. Thank you. What you're supposed to do in the final part of the exercise is take a moment to review the entire list of love needs and identify areas, if any, where you think additional focus from your spouse could help further strengthen your marriage. And it says to maintain a spirit of love and kindness in this exercise. It's not a complaint
session. I like that he said it. They say it's not a complaint session.
Right. It's not, yep. not a time to gripe. It's simply an exercise to help us understand where we can focus our efforts to better serve our spouse and further strengthen mm-hmm. our marriage.
I like that he says, too, that you may also include areas where your spouse may inadvertently or unknowingly hurt your feelings.
Mm-hmm. You know? Yeah, and that sometimes just helping them understand this can drastically improve your marriage. So then it gives you a little part to write out things where a small amount of additional focus from my spouse could help further strengthen our marriage. So you write that out. Then you get together and you share your answers with each other and discuss it. And at the end, they have a marriage makeover plan. You put it into action to show them the love, and your main takeaways for me to do is what you list on here. So there's six places that you can mm-hmm. list for each one of the love six. needs, and then what the things are that you can do to help mm-hmm. your spouse or to show love towards your spouse in the way that they would like to receive the love. And it suggests that you put them in your calendar so that you remember to do them, mm-hmm. especially if it's something that you would do on a weekly basis. Like maybe it's important for somebody that their husband, for a wife, that their husband takes the garbage out every mm-hmm. night, which I'm very blessed you take the garbage out every mm-hmm. night. I appreciate that. And so then you could, you know, put a reminder on your...
Heck, I could set an alarm on my phone.
You could set an alarm on your phone to take yep. the garbage out if that was something yep. you needed to work on. And then there is optional homework. It's a set of other questions that says each person answers the questions below on your own, then discuss them with your spouse. And it actually suggests that you do this as part of a date night mm-hmm. and as a follow-up to what you learned in the 25-minute makeover. So then at the end, it tells you to make a plan to do more activities like the ones that you enjoy above. That's what the homework is talking about. Your favorite foods or restaurants, favorite trips together, favorite things to do on the weekends, favorite activities to do with your spouse or by yourself. Mm-hmm. Talks about memories and what you want in life. What are your dreams? And so then you make a plan to do these activities as often as you can, or begin planning new activities, or to simply pull out photos of the experiences that you've had in the past mm-hmm. periodically and enjoy them and talk about them. It's a really great tool, mm-hmm. I think. Like I said, this would have been helpful to us many, many years ago.
Yeah, because we've worked through a lot of this right. same stuff.
So. Right, but I think this is a very clear way mm-hmm. of getting you to focus on it. And literally, we looked at the time and it took us 25 minutes to do that. And it included us talking about it mm-hmm. too. Now, like we said, we've already worked through a lot of this stuff, and so we really didn't have a lot of our answers were similar, and a lot of the things that are important to us, we already are affirming each other mm-hmm. in those areas and doing things that make our spouse feel loved in those areas.
There were no surprises.
Right, there weren't any surprises. Right. But if you're struggling in your relationship, there may be some surprises. Mm-hmm. Yep. You know, like the guy who said he thought vacuuming and doing the dishes all those years was the thing, and it turned out it wasn't the thing. And, mm-hmm. you know, and I can see if you're in a place where you're struggling, that something simple like this could be really a game changer for your relationship.
Could really make a difference.
Mm-hmm. So as always, I will put the link for this into the podcast description. It is the 25-Minute Marriage Makeover from trailmapforlife.com. And we highly encourage you to download the workbooks and work through them together as a couple.
Mm-hmm.
Until we talk to you next week, we pray that your relationship will be richly blessed.
God bless. Good night.
Bye.